Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. I'm Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. AJ along for the ride today. Brian's not here. He's not working yet again. Not Brian, man. Never works.
Not here.
I like your hat, Joe.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Joe's wearing the, what'd you call it, new?
Yeah, it's new.
Semi-new?
We got it at Christmas, that's new.
Joe's wearing that's what Joe got me for Christmas. Joe's wearing the black ESPN hat with red ESPN lettering, and underneath it, it's white Houston lettering.
You can see it very clearly.
Looks very, very good. I think I lost mine, actually.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I think I did.
How?
How do you lose things?
I don't lose hats.
Really? You never lose your lid?
0.4, but no. No, not really.
Okay.
I have a case for them, so.
All right. I think I lost it in my closet. Like, I don't think it's permanently lost.
Oh, it's just like lost in the chaos?
Yeah, lost in the chaos that is my closet. One of these days, I'll take it out of my closet. Lots to get to today. It's deadline day in the NFL when it comes to these franchise tags. In fact, pencils down. The deadline just passed. It was 3 o'clock our time. We'll get to that a little bit later. Some names that have, one that has been trans-tagged, one that has been franchise-tagged, and another name that is retiring. We'll get into that later.
Big cut just happened, too.
Who got cut?
The greatest athlete of all time.
John Weeks?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, he officially got cut?
Well, they can't cut him officially until next Wednesday, but Schefter just broke the news, and he just said goodbye on Twitter.
So. I'm wondering where he's going to go. We'll talk about it later.
Yep.
But Kyler Murray, okay. All right. So we got like the whole gambit here. We got a trans tag. We have a franchise tag. Mm-hmm. We have a cuttage, and we have a retirement. Texans also have a cuttage. Jimmy Ward's cut. We'll touch on that a little bit later. We got some more fear-mongering going on from The Athletic, Joe. This time it's not Chandler Rome. It's just his mentor, Ken Rosenthal, who's doing some fear-mongering.
It's like a disease, and he passed it on to him.
I think so. It's a pandemic, what's going on with this fear-mongering over at The Athletic. We'll touch on that a little bit later. Ken Rosenthal doing some fear-mongering with the Astros, which has kind of been the MO from The Athletic this offseason. In fact, nah, I'll save it for later. Yesterday, the Rockets won a basketball game. They beat one of the worst teams in the NBA, the Washington Wizards, from the nation's capital, which is great. That's good news. I mean, we're all happy that the Rockets won. And also, like, the final score was not indicative of how this game went. Rockets were comfortably ahead. I know the Wizards had the first quarter lead. They were hitting threes from dudes who don't hit threes. Rockets blew them out the rest of the way. Wizards turned a blowout into, you know, they probably covered. I don't know what the spread was yesterday, but they probably covered. But this was a blowout game. What you had to do going up against one of the worst teams in the NBA. Also, I told you this yesterday. I view these road trips kind of like baseball series, right? If you play a 5-game series, you want to take 3 of 5. You want to win the series. This was a 3-game road trip. You win the road trip. Yesterday was kind of the rubber game of the road trip. So the Rockets come back winners of 2 of the 3 on this 3-game roadie. And I'm pleased, Joe. I'm pleased with this result.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be pleased for it. We'd like to say you're welcome on behalf of you, myself, Lance Zierlein, for acknowledging that Alperen Şengün hadn't led the Rockets in scoring since he returned from his injury.
Mostly Lance, though. Yeah. I don't think we can take credit for that.
He's in Japan, so he doesn't know that, Jeremy. It's okay. But Alperen Şengün led the team scoring yesterday, so that was nice. Reed Shepard continues to play well. Kevin Durant, good. Yeah, it was a fun game. And then, honestly, the only thing I want to talk about was the fight.
That's the only thing you want to talk about?
Not really, but it was
a very wasn't really
funny.
A fight.
No, it wasn't. It was just a shoving match. But, no, the Rockets played well yesterday, and you said it right. They did what they were supposed to do. And, yes, I agree. The final score is not indicative of what this entire game was. But Washington's a bad team, and they took care of business. And they got the W, and that's what matters.
Yeah. So what did you think of the fight?
It was fun.
I think my favorite part is that Trae Young got ejected.
Yes. Before he's played a game,
it wasn't a fight, though. That wasn't a fight.
No, it was just a big shove. Honestly, I think my favorite part is the fact that they didn't call a foul on the first shove.
I know. That's what Trae Young was so upset about. He's like, how did y'all miss that? Which, I mean, is true. Like, he got pancaked to the ground.
Yeah, I mean,
not technically.
It was like, maybe, you know, Cole Popovich can show some of that in the Texans meeting room next year about what a block looks like, how to extend your arms.
Very swarmy of Tari.
But nice block there from Tari. Big push, big fall. I cannot believe they didn't call it. It was so funny watching the replay of that. And Aaron Holiday just like walking to the basket and getting a free bucket.
There was so much to enjoy there. The Tari pushing him the first time was hilarious to me. Then he pushes him the second time. That was funny. You have Trae Young running onto the floor in street clothes because he's mad that they missed the first push, which he's absolutely right about, but you can't run onto the floor. So he gets ejected, which is like his first official statistic, I guess, for the Washington Wizards. And apparently he's supposed to come back, Thursday, I think, is their next game?
Yes.
Which that might be in question now because I think he might have to serve a one-game suspension.
Yep.
So that it pushes back his debut, which is maybe part of their tanking. Maybe this was by design. Like, one fewer game of Trae Young increases our chances of getting maybe one more ping pong ball. But yeah, that was hilarious. But I think my favorite part, though, was Ryan Hollins acting like Tari Eason's a choir boy. He's just like, oh, you know, Tari would never do anything wrong. He would never do anything that, you know, is below board. He would never get mad at something, which, come on. Like, if there's one, I know he was saying if he was provoked and that he probably was provoked, and I imagine he was provoked, but acting like Tari's a choir boy is hilarious, because if there is one dude who would like go into the stands, if we had to pick one Houston Rocket who would go full Mad Max, Tari Eason is easily the number one pick I would have.
Not even a question about it. I think in my notes, my first note I have here is Ryan Hollins said that he didn't think Tari pushed him. Like, it's like he wasn't watching the game. And just like missed it. And then he realized after.
Hyperbolic Hollins.
But Craig was having to like talk Hollins down to be like, hey man, he shoved him pretty good here both times. And Hollins like, no, he had to say something. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not a big deal at all. But like, Hollins was that's clearly Tari Eason. That's this dude. That's what we learned from yesterday's game, is Ryan Hollins and Tari Eason.
Well,
at least Hollins thinks they're boys.
Well, I mean, he did it in the fourth quarter with Durant, too. Like, when Durant pushed that dude, which, like, was kind of like, you know, whatever. But, like, he did the same thing. He's like, well, you know, that's not a push. And Craig is like, well, yeah, it is a push, and you cannot push, and you won't get a T.
Yeah.
And eventually Hollins like, okay, all right. Like, it's almost like he's a little child that has to be told why it's wrong.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're right, Ryan. Like, yes, you shouldn't be, like, trying to troll him. You shouldn't be trying to get under his skin. That's right, Ryan. But you know what, Ryan? You also can't just two hands shove a guy, not once, but twice. And Hollins like, okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's of all the things that happened in the game, like, I watched the game delayed. I watched it at night, and I skipped through the commercials and everything. I forgot that Trae Young was on the Wizards. So when I saw the highlight first of Trae Young being ejected, it, like, didn't compute with me that was going to be the game I was going to be watching later.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, I don't know. He's a Wizard.
Yeah.
And then watching it in real time, I remember looking at the score and how much time was left, and I felt like a little kid on Christmas because I couldn't wait to see it all play out and transpire in real time. It was fun. It was like, look, it was – they were beating him down. Everyone played well, and then we got a fun little shoving match in the middle of it. It was a fun night of basketball.
713-780-ESPN. Chunky says, I appreciate the way Ackerman always checks Hollins. When Hollins asks, right, Craig? And Craig is like, no.
Yes.
Craig is really good about that. But they have good rapport, though. I think they have fantastic rapport, which makes it easier for like Craig to be like, hey, yeah. Eh, you might be a little hyperbolic here, Ryan. Not in those words, but like, hey, you know, yeah, that probably was a foul, Ryan. That probably was a tech, Ryan.
He did leave Craig out to dry a couple times yesterday.
Which ones?
This whole twin thing that he was talking about.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd.
Really strange and so factually incorrect. It's not even funny.
Really?
Well, okay. The way Ryan presented it, Craig was right. He presented it like how many twins were in the NBA. And then he brought up the random fact that Anthony Davis has a twin.
Right.
He's like, those are the three twins.
He's like, you had to know that, right, Craig?
And I was like, there's no way in the entire NBA there's only those three twins. I'm sure there's at least one other player in the NBA that's a twin. It was just weird.
Well, so you don't know if it's factually incorrect. You're
I'm just guessing. No, I'm assuming, yes.
Okay, that's I'm going to have to check you on this. Because you just went full, like, that's not factually correct. Like, you had facts,
you don't have the facts to support it.
Right,
but I'm guessing. I would bet money I'm correct here. But he was leaving Ackerman out to dry with that trivia question.
And then he was like, who would you consider the best brother-sister combination of all time? And Craig's like, well, I'd have to think about it. He goes, how do you not know off the top of your head?
Yeah, he was like, it's like they had a pre-show meeting and this was going to get discussed and Craig wasn't listening.
But they I don't know about that.
No, that's what it comes off that way. But in reality, it's like these are things that just popped into Ryan's head and Craig was not ready for them.
No, I think that they have good rapport, though.
I think
that they have good back and forth. Where's Brian? Junkie ask, lazy, agreed. Another junkie, how is a midnight number on? Okay. All right. Let me read this text exactly how it's typed in. I know what he's trying to say, but I'll just read how it's typed in because I'm not bailing out the junkies, the dozens and dozens of junkies. There's just too few of you to bail out. How is a midnight number on W to be in the stand? He gets mad rage. He's trying to say how is a men not number one to go in the stand, but he said how is a men not number on W to be in the stand? He get mad rage.
I mean, he did throw down Tyler Hero last year.
Yeah, I mean, a men would be my second pick, but Tari's a loose cannon, man.
Yeah, I think
like
I
a men,
think, yeah.
a men's more like. Well, I guess he could easily do it that way as well. Like a men to me is more stand on business, whereas Tari's more like I'm going to lose my mind. It has a screw loose type of thing. But, you know, if, like, a fan threw something at him, I mean, a man's probably going to go confront him.
Yeah, yes.
I would go Tari 1. I go Tari 1.
No, it's Tari 1, a men 2. I don't know who's number 3, though.
Durant would just, like, go to the sidelines and, like, rage bait him.
It's not Durant. He'll chirp at the fans, but he's not going to the stands.
No, Reed's not going. Adams might go back in the day, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
I could see him going up there.
He also feels like kind of like a big teddy bear. So
he is, but he's also going to be an enforcer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could see him going at the defense of one of his teammates. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, he's going to go in there with, you know, one of his dudes, which current Houston Rocket is the most likely to go full Mad Max, 713-780-3776. Yeah, I think it's easily – I mean, it's one of those two, and I lean Tari.
Yeah, I lean Tari as well. And then number 3 – I'm trying to think who else. Maybe Dorian Finney-Smith could contribute to this roster in some way. That'd be nice.
I haven't really seen that demeanor at all.
No, well, we don't see anything from him. Not good.
He was plus one yesterday, though, Dorian Finney-Smith. He was plus one.
Congratulations.
He's plus minus, which I hate the plus minus stat. I think it's one of the stupidest things we do. Everybody puts so much emphasis on plus minus. I think it's so dumb. But, yeah, he had 5 points, 6 rebounds, plus one in the plus minus, Joe.
And you know what?
Although in a game that you win by 5, I think plus one's a net negative. Because you're minus 4 from the total score. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Durant's a minus 1, so that's also where I'm with you. Or I'm like, I don't really care.
Alpi was a minus 4.
Exactly. I don't like the stat at all.
I hate the stat.
It means nothing to me.
Like, what if you're on the floor for 7 minutes, and in that 7 minutes, like, the other team's just shooting like crazy. Your team can't buy a bucket even though you're wide open. That tells you how good of a player you are?
I think it can be a good stat at the end of a season.
Like, you need a lot of data points.
Yeah,
I hear you on
like
that.
Once you have a full season, you look at a player's total plus minus, then I think you can get a good read on what that player's impact is on any given, you know, night.
But it's also difficult. Like, it's not a very good cross-reference stat.
No,
like,
it's
I think
not.
I think it does. I think it's like if you wanted to use it in your full body of the season, I think that's better, obviously, than using it on a night by night basis. And I do think that it could show like the well, even then, like I don't know how great it is at this. Like I can poke holes in it, but I think it could show sort of the value you have to your team. Like if you're the third plus minus player on your team that, you know, given year, okay, maybe you're the third most important player. But then also like it's a counting stat, so like volume matters, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have a guy that missed 15 games, he's going to be hurt by this because he's not racking up the volume of it. And then it's also very, very bad and a very, very bad comparison whenever you're cross-referencing it to other players around the league on different teams. Because it's going to be vastly different based on the team that you're on.
Yeah, it's a good way to, I think, to evaluate your roster.
Yeah, and at best, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like you don't want to comparing someone's plus minus on the Rockets versus the Wizards at the end of the season is a useless exercise because the Wizards are just bad. So no matter how good a player plays, most of the time that player is still going to be a minus.
Yeah.
Because they're just awful all the time.
Yeah, I don't love it. I think it's severely flawed. I think it's too – and, like, it's cool to have, like, as a data point. Like, I'm not saying we should erase the thing or delete the thing. My biggest beef with it is that people, like, over-magnify the importance of it.
Yeah.
And people use it, like, as one of the most important stats in basketball. And that's the issue that I have. I think it's more of a sidebar way down the road. Like, it's cool to have the information. Like, let's take a look at it every now and then. Oh, that's neat. As opposed to, like, this was his value in this game. I think it's severely flawed. Junkie says Chris Paul has a twin cliff. Chris Paul isn't in the league, though. So that one doesn't work. Another junkie, you have to remember that most junkies are either drunk or have been kicked in the head by a mule at some point in their lives. Nah, come on. We have the most sophisticated listenership in all of Houston sports radio. The dozens and dozens of our junkies are the most smartest.
The most smartest.
They're the most smartest listenership of all sports radio. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. I suppose we should talk about the game. Maybe we talk about the game with the Rockets. Also, Ime Udoka had something to say before the game that didn't make people very happy. Joe has a Rockets pet peeve. We'll get to all these people hating the Texans trades yesterday. I think it's funny. What is the offseason agenda for the Texans? And then it is tag day in the NFL. We've seen a franchise tag. We've seen a trans tag. We've seen a cut. We've seen a retirement. We've seen a little bit of everything so far with today's transitional and franchise tag deadline. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. You can get involved. You can watch our ugly mugs on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can also watch along on TikTok, ESPN975 there. You can listen to us on our app, ESPN Houston, our website, ESPN Houston. Also on Twitter, you can watch us there as well as we go. What do they call it? Spaces? We do Spaces on Twitter? Is that what it's called? Spaces? I think it's Spaces.
No, that's not. It's not Spaces.
It's not Spaces?
That's the thing, but that's not technically what we do.
It's not technically what we do? How would you know? I'm just kidding. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what I know? I know food. You don't get a body like this without knowing a thing or two about food. And you know what I've been really enjoying lately? Federal American Grill, for a variety of different reasons. Which, by the way, we're a little bit past the lunch hour on this show because we start at 3 o'clock. But maybe a good pregame for you listening to Jeremy and Joe, or you're just looking for lunch, maybe you're not listening to us at all, is going to Federal American Grill and getting their lunch. You can order straight from the source, too. You don't need these third parties, these mediators for you and your food. No, you go online, thefederalgrill.com, and order your lunch. You can order dinner as well, of course. But I was taking a look at the menu here a little bit earlier. I like to do this whenever I get hungry, which probably isn't a smart thing to do, but Federal American Grill makes it look very appetizing. How about for starters, you get the bang bang shrimp. They got calamari, which I'm always a big fan of calamari. Love me some calamari. Burgers and sandwiches. We had a texter yesterday said they got that Freedom Burger, and thank you for that. Thank you for your service, because for every Freedom Burger sold at Federal American Grill, they donate $1 to the veterans over at Camp Hope. So why wouldn't you do that? You're being a gentleman or a scholar whenever you do just that very, very thing. Also, get over there for social hour. Social hour is fantastic. 3 to 7, more like social hours. $10 appetizers, handcrafted drink specials. It's perfect to start the evening off right. You had a long day at work. You need a drink. You need a cheap bite. Federal American Grill, $10 appetizers, handcrafted drink specials, or if you're just getting the night started in the right way. Also, world-class whiskey, world-class bourbon for you. And don't forget about Easter brunch. Everybody's always looking for something to do on Easter. What better than brunch at Federal American Grill? Reserve those spots now. 5 locations to choose from. I spot up in the Woodlands, Hedwig Village, Katy, Shepherd, downtown location, River Oaks location. Coming soon as well. Federal American Grill. Check them out, thefederalgrill.com, where precision cooking meets quality ingredients and a tribute to classic American cuisine.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie says, I love the Texans trades! Bye-bye, Titus! 3 exclamation marks. Another junkie. It's amazing how May GM we have as fans when our teams make trades, the like and dislike. Thank goodness only one gets paid, though. Okay. 713-780-3776. Sophisticated is not the word. Then what's the word? What would you? How would you describe the dozens and dozens of the junkies? 713-780-3776. I think they're very sophisticated. They learn me a thing or two every day.
I kind of like the most smartest.
The most smartest listenership in all of Houston sports radio?
Yeah.
Or should it be all of sports radio? I guess it depends on how I feel that day. Just what rolls off the tongue.
For sure the most smartest.
Not the
in
R's.
Houston
I can't roll
radio.
The R's. What's up?
Especially the most smartest in Houston sports radio.
I don't know. That sounds cheesy. Maybe you can refer to them that. I'll stick with sophisticated.
Okay.
Maybe it just depends on the day. You know, sometimes you got to – it's – you know, a lot of people want to have, like, these analytical, like, this is the way we're going to do it whenever this pops up. I like to kind of just go off vibes. I'm a vibes person.
Yeah, I feel you. I think that for the most part, you know, we just have to – keep an eye on these guys. Or what kind of performance they're giving us day in and day out. They're not consistent.
We got to keep it a buck.
Yeah.
How about this Rockets quartet yesterday? Since we didn't really talk about the game. Didn't talk about the game. The game. Alpi with that double-double. You touched on that. 32 and 13. That was nice. Most of his damage in the second. Kevin Durant scores 30 again. Kind of just like slept walk to 30, which is awesome. Amin Thompson had a huge game, 22 points, 12 rebounds. Like, and Washington stinks. Like, so, you know, maybe a grain of salt, but they stink. And then Reed Sheppard, like, a night where he didn't have his best shooting night, still fine. 7 of 18, okay. 4 of 11, fine. But he racked up 10 assists, also had 7 rebounds, 6 steals, blocked a couple of shots. Like, and I kind of trolled a little bit. I saw someone post, like, Reed Sheppard's really good at these chase down blocks. Wouldn't have as many chase down blocks if he could stay in front of his, you know, the guy he's guarding.
I saw that.
Nonetheless. Good game from Reed, 42 minutes. I like how he did other things, and it wasn't just like, okay, well, if his shot's on, he's helping us. This is a night where he didn't shoot, I would call it great, and still found out a lot of, or still had a lot of other areas where he was able to help the Rockets, which I think is very important to him, like really becoming a key critical piece to this team.
Yeah, I mean, last night, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, and 6 steals. He was the youngest player in NBA history with those numbers, and 2 blocks as well. I mean, and I saw Brett O tweet out, the company he's in now is like some of the best basketball players of all time that have put up a game like this. Obviously, that doesn't mean Reed's that, but he played really well last night. Specifically, I really like what we saw from him in transition. It feels different on a fast break when he has the ball. Like, is he a great point guard yet? Definitely not, but it does feel more fluid in which he knows where to go with the basketball in transition than some of the other guys on the team. He is the Reed stands. It's another W for them. He's checking the boxes right now of playing more minutes, being more effective offensively, contributing, like you said, in other ways than just scoring. He's playing his best basketball so far of his career in this recent stretch. Yes, it's the Wizards, but it's a good stretch of basketball for him. So that's why it's more than just a one game sample size.
He's maturing. Like he's developing. Like this is it's kind of a catch 22. Because, like, if you're happy with where Reed Sheppard's at right now, don't you have to give the coach a little bit of credit to his development to this point?
I think so. You can see people don't want to do that.
Right. They think he stunted it.
Yeah.
They think that it should have happened, like, earlier this season, which I think it's part of the process. I think it's part of, okay, Reed, you're going to do things that we can't have as a team. You can't, like, stop reaching and fouling dudes. You can't stay in front of your guy you're guarding. You're going to turn the ball over. Well, you're going to come take a seat for 15 minutes a night. You're going to play 25 minutes instead of 32 minutes. So, like, a lot of that, like, people get frustrated because he's not playing 32 minutes. But a lot of it, like, you have to go through that early in your career to touch that sort of development, to have that sort of development. So I actually give Ime credit for where Reed is at right now, and people do not want to do that. You're right.
No, I think you're right. I think we talked about this last week, that people view the draft pick status as an expectation for what Reed should be, and I think there's some miscontext in just his career overall. This is a guy who started 5 games in college. Mm-hmm. He played in 33. Well, he only started in 5.
A little misleading.
I know he played 29 minutes a game in college, so he still played a lot. But like he wasn't, you know.
Dillingham came off the bench too, and I think they were the first two picks from that team.
He so wasn't, like, it was kind of weird, but he wasn't like what Boozer's doing right now. And we've seen guys come off the bench like Devin Booker and have success in the NBA. Now Devin Booker's team is a little different than what Reed Shepard was playing on when he was in college in terms of the amount of talent. But there's development that has to happen when you're a good basketball team. These guys aren't just going to be thrown out there. Like, I think people want Reed's role to be like what we saw with Jalen Green. But that was a bad basketball team. He was going to play all the time. This is a winning basketball team. If your coach doesn't trust you because you don't do things the right way, you're not going to get out there. Now he seems to be earning that trust. Now I think there is an argument for when this team is healthy of potentially changing the starting lineup with the way he's played. He's making all of those cases to play 30 minutes a game plus, to start in be in the starting five for the Rockets. He's playing that well for me. So I think it's kudos to him, and I think people should just be happier with the process that we're getting there. Like, why does everything have to be such a negative? Right. Why does it have to be, why didn't he even do this before? Well, no, like, it's getting there now.
Yeah,
it's part
of the process.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, if you're happy with his play now, how do you not give the coach credit for some of that play? Like, it's interesting to me. Speaking of the starting lineup, Ime yesterday was asked before the game, like, hey, Jabari, is he still back for the Golden State game? And if so, what's that starting five going to look like? Here was Ime's response to that.
When he returns, what do you anticipate your starting lineup looking like?
Probably back to the original.
Yeah. People did not like that answer. Now, one video that has not gone viral because it doesn't, you know, sell, doesn't click, it's not dramatic, it's not sizzling, is or scintillating. Ime was asked yesterday about it again after the game because the clip that we just played was pregame. What we heard after the game, like, hey, what do you think about that starting five again? He's like, well, Amin just rolled his ankle, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So, like, he did kind of change course, but it's just funny how, like, the internet works, right? People are like, oh, you know, blah, 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 internet, sensationalism. Well, that's because it sells, right? Like, why do people do it? Because it's the stuff that gets the attention. So, pregame, Ime was like, well, we'll probably go back to the other thing. And it goes viral. Ime after the game, well, you know, Amin rolled his ankle, so we'll see. Crickets.
Yeah, but it's because I think the larger point that, you know, the really pro read people want to make regardless is that it shouldn't have taken these injuries
right
to get to this point.
They do.
But I think that's the other reality of sometimes with younger players in sports is for that breakthrough to happen, you need an injury. You need someone to get hurt for you to end up having an established role to really prove yourself. You know,
for
like
sure.
You don't just take minutes from veteran players because you're the number three pick in the NFL or the NBA draft.
Right.
You need something to transpire to change it. And typically it's injury, you know, or a big trade to happen. And this is Reed's moment. He's taking advantage of it. If, you know, Jabari comes back and then Amin's out for a game or two, like you continue to see it, I wonder if Ime's tune will change it all. Or if we'll just see what we've talked about, which is, yes, the starting five stays the same, but Reed Shepard's minutes continue to go up.
Yeah, I personally, I don't care who starts. Like, I think it's one of the silliest arguments we have. He should be in the starting five. I think people view it more of a status thing. I think it's more about stature and prestige than anything else. I've heard some valid arguments the other way. They're like, hey, you know, start in rhythm, start in flow, all that stuff. And I do think that's valid, but I think it's overrated. Like, if I was playing basketball – and everybody's laughing. If I was playing basketball and you gave me the choice of coming off the bench and playing 35 minutes a night or starting and playing 25, I'm choosing the off the bench playing 35. Like, I think we overrate it sometimes.
100%.
I learned that Angel Reese has a brother last night. I didn't know that. You know, I like to learn something new each day, Joe.
Yeah, I didn't know.
That was one thing that I learned.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I think that's what led to like kind of the brother sister conversation was that dude that started and played, I believe, in his first ever game in the NBA. Maybe it was his first start. I don't really keep up with the Wizards.
I think they said it was his first points in the league, so I think it was his first game.
Yeah, all I know about the Wizards, well, I know their roster a little bit, but Cam Whitmore's out for the year with some foot thing. But yeah, that was Angel Reese's brother, so did not know that. Did not know that Angel had a brother. That's cool. And you know what else we haven't really talked about in a while? Kevin Durant burners.
We have not.
Like, that thing just kind of went away, right?
Well, we talked about that. You know, like, if they come out of the break and they play good basketball, that no one's going to care about burners. It was only if the Rockets struggled like they did pre-All-Star break that it was going to turn into this huge story, and now it's completely gone because everyone's playing pretty good basketball for the most part.
We talked about how like overblown it was. Like, dude, they're pros, they're grown men. Like, it's gonna be all right. My friends call me worse things than that.
Mr. Reliable, the R word.
Mr. Jabari. Reliable, the R word. Jabari.
He's everybody's favorite R word. Reliable.
Yep.
He wouldn't go into the stands. Would he? He wouldn't go full Mad Max.
No, I was thinking about him. We were talking about that.
He pretend that he would, but he actually wouldn't.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like. Yes, that's a
he's
good point.
Fake tough.
He might be holding Kevin Durant back when Kevin Durant's really not going to go either. But
Kevin Durant's not going.
But like Jabari,
Kevin Durant's going to tweet about it.
Yeah, Jabari's the holdback guy.
Jabari is the holdback guy.
Maybe Albie could surprise us.
No chance.
Oh, Albie's, you know, oh,
Albie's going to be crying to the refs about it.
I know who it is. Number three on the list, Capella.
I don't know. Is Capella that kind of guy, though?
I feel like for this.
He's French.
I think, that's true. That's true. What are you saying about the French, Jeremy?
You know what I'm saying about the French. I made it pretty clear. I wasn't hiding anything. I wasn't trying to be sly about it. Like, I thought I was pretty direct on what my intent was there.
You were.
He was actually born in Switzerland. He grew up in France, it says here on his Wikipedia.
Then he's definitely not going in.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so Joe has a gripe. He's got a pet peeve with the Rockets. I'm dying to know what it is, as should you. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed, but the reason people keep coming to D&M has only grown. They're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little. If you've never leased a vehicle before, don't worry. You're not going to get a rookie. Their average manager's been there for 20 years, their average salesperson for 10. So you get someone that knows how to save you money, protect you from depreciation, and design a lease around your life. And right now, they have several new 2026 models available with payments under $400 per month for qualified buyers. All you have to do is go to dmautoleasing.com right now. You can see the full inventory of all the different cars that you can lease and sign up for today. And you can call as well at 713-290-1000. So if your payments are too high, you're stuck in that negative equity, or you just want that smarter way to upgrade, call D&M at 713-290-1000 by visiting also dmautoleasing.com today. And when you're there, mention that I, Joe George, sent you. And if you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, I might even you deliver that new vehicle and hand you the keys.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy, the Huntington Bank bad boy. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Junkie, assuming the rims are 8 feet tall in this league, Jeremy's playing basketball in. Hashtag pro dunk hoops. That's not very nice. Keith from L.A., Lance in Japan. Do we know he's safe? We don't. Do you care?
He's been posting photos. He's been tweeting away.
What's the time difference?
10 hours, I think he said. Because I think he said he might do the Friday show.
That'd be hilarious.
From Japan. I think he said it'd be 10. No. So it's not.
How does the connection work when you're doing that?
Great question. We're going to find out. He's still going to be in with John on Friday, but Lance might try to dial in. He said it'd be 10 p.m.
I'm fascinated.
In Japan.
I might go to like Venezuela for like 3 weeks in the summer and just do my show from there.
Sure.
It's better in Mexico.
That's fair, I guess.
At this point.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like the Caymans and like do the show from the beach in like a, beachside cabana.
I mean, you have a Comrex, so like yours will sound a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd sound fine if you could pull out. I'm worried about the internet internationally. That's always been my concern.
Yeah. But I mean, I would do it. I don't know if I would. Like maybe what Lance is doing where he's there for, 10 days or whatever and do one show from Japan, but I'm not like going to Mexico or wherever working for 5 days.
Yeah, but you're only doing it 3 hours a day. We don't work at all.
I know, but I still want to like enjoy my vacation.
Yeah. I'd still find a way to enjoy it. I'd be fine. It says 9 hours on my computer. It says that it's 6:37 right now in Japan. So if it was 6:37 right now in Japan, and what's six minus? It'd be he'd be doing a show at like 9 p.m. No, his show starts at 7.
Yeah.
His show starts at 7, so 7 hours. He'd be like 10 p.m. He'd be doing his show from 10 to 1 a.m. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
That's what I said. But, yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh.
It's okay.
I was just – I had to do the math in my head to really believe it.
You're just double-checking our work.
I understand. Yeah.
I don't blame you.
We'll get to you want to know Joe's pet peeve? We'll get to in a second. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith is in. He probably wants to get the Rockets to sign Kelvin Cato. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. No free agents for me today. Two quick questions. McDonald's today dropped a big arch burger. It's got two patties, three pieces of bread, the crispy onions, the sauce. Are you guys in on the big arch? And second question is, who is winning the World Baseball Classic? Thanks, guys.
Sounds like a Mailbag Monday question, Keith.
Yeah, I'll try it.
I'm out on the big arch.
I'm pretty locked in on my McDonald's order, though.
What's your McDonald's order?
I usually go McDouble, spicy McChicken, fry, and a Coke.
I usually get that little $5.50 bundle now.
Okay.
Which is like the McDouble, chicken nugget, small fry, small Coke.
Good call.
You could just do that with – you could just get two of them. You could get the McDouble bundle, and you could get the spicy McChicken bundle.
Yeah, that's like we have – you know, but that's – you know, see, if they could be like, you know, turn that once – two small Cokes into a medium Coke, that would work for me.
You know how you can do that? You take the two Cokes home, and you put them in a big Yeti.
That's true. That's true.
There you go. That's you got – you got
just solve that problem.
You got two sandwiches – you got enough fries, and you got a big Yeti of Coke for the rest of the day, Joe, for $11.
And then I'll take Japan and the World Baseball Classic.
No, I'm not going to have the big arch, and I don't care. Like I'm really disinterested about the WBC at the moment. Maybe it's something like the non-insurance guys. Like it's weird to me.
It is strange.
You have Scooble like throwing 30 pitches against Great Britain
on Saturday. Yeah.
So like it's just I don't. It feels more like a glorified exhibition.
Yeah,
like,
the fact that you're going to get a total of four starts from Logan Webb, Scooble, and Skeens is strange, and they're not going to be real starts.
It feels like in the past, like they were more like players insured, and like pitchers were actually like going.
Well, they didn't really have Scooble, Skeens last time. I mean, I think Adam Wainwright pitched for Team USA last time.
Okay.
So they went with some of the older players. So I guess this was the compromise that they made was, hey, come help us sell tickets at Daikin Park.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, I'm going Saturday. Like, me and my dad are excited to see Scooble pitch.
It's going to be fun. That's the game at the Dike is America versus Great Britain?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, they play Friday. So Logan Webb will pitch
Friday.
You're
going to see two innings.
Yeah, and then I know, like, and then there'll be other pitchers on it. But it seems like they're going to piece the staff together. We're like, the main guys are going to play. Like, Judge, Schwarber, Harper, those guys are going to play the full nine, but the pitching is going to be very pieced together, it seems.
Maybe whenever they start playing, I'll get, you know, a little excited about it. But it's just, I'm not moved at all by the WBC at the moment. Maybe it'll change. Maybe it'll change in a little bit. Maybe it was the Aaron Judge speech that he gave to the clubhouse.
Snoozer, man.
Maybe that's what left me unmoved, is that, you know, Aaron Judge gave this speech, and it was like, okay. Like, you know, some people give speeches, Joe, like Herb Brooks, like Cal McNair, where you want to just leave your feet and run through a brick wall, right? Aaron Judge, it made me want to remain seated. Like, I just wanted to, like, I'm good. Like, maybe I'll go to sleep now. Maybe I'll take a nap after that motivational speech by the captain. What an embarrassment to captaincy.
Yeah.
In the history of captaincy.
Agreed. He's boring.
He's a boring leader.
He can hit the ball really far.
Yeah, but he's not. Stud. He's so good.
He's just not a good motivational guy.
Yeah. All right, Keith, thanks for distracting us. Now let's get back to the whole meaning of this segment. Joe has a Rockets pet peeve. Joe, what is said pet peeve?
Okay, so I think it was like 5-0 at this point in the game. But there was There was an inbounds pass on the baseline where a man threw it up to KD and it just went out of bounds. It was so bad. Their inbounds passes are just it's starting to annoy me. We're like,
interesting.
There's no help. Like, you've got Kevin Durant one-on-one with a guy. Amen's just throwing it up there to get it to him. It is the most lazy, sloppy basketball play that the Rockets do. There's four other guys. You're on your side of the court. And no one is realizing, like, oh, Kevin Durant's supposed to get the ball. Amen can't get it to him. Let's help him out here. It's just a little pet peeve that, like, I'm like, they're terrible at this. And we've seen it happen throughout the season in different moments on the sidelines and the baselines, where they can't execute an inbounds pass, and they're just throwing it up there to KD because he's really tall, and it's getting knocked away. It's being overthrown. It's just it's one of those things where is it a big deal right now? Probably not. Do I feel like it's going to be a problem in the playoffs and going to hurt them in a crucial moment? I kind of do. So it's just a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, I think it speaks to a bigger issue, really. I think it speaks to the turnover issue.
Like, yes.
Like what leads to turnovers, being careless with the basketball, and that has plagued them all season long. So yeah, I think it's just another tidbit. I think it's another bullet point to what has been one of the biggest issues with this basketball team.
Because even last night, I mean they had 20 turnovers last night. As good as Alpi was scoring, he had 8. Kevin Durant had 6. They had 14 turnovers between the two. The Wizards had 12 as a team.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how many turnovers this team has.
Yeah, they need it. I mean, people would say, well, there's not a point guard, and those people would be right. But at the same time, like, take care of the ball, dude.
I don't think a point guard solves all these problems. It's like, a point guard doesn't just mean Alpi's not going to be sloppy with the basketball.
Right.
Or Kevin Durant. If it was all Reed and all Amen, then yeah, Fred solves a lot of those problems. They're not having turnovers in a lot of times of the setup of the offense. It's just they're just lazy, bad passes.
Yep.
The ball hitting off their hands. They're just a very turnover-prone basketball team right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a good call on that. I think it speaks to the bigger issue, but that's part of it. Like, start doing the little things a little bit better, which is frustrating. It probably will be the bugaboo of this team. Now, my expectations for this team aren't like, you know, NBA Finals or bust, so maybe my expectations will still be met, whereas others will be obviously very frustrated, which you should be. If it's turnovers that's costing you, then, like, you know, be careful with the ball. 713-780-ESPN. When we return, there's a lot of talking heads, Joe, that hate the Texans trades from yesterday. We'll listen and read some of that hate from a bunch of people. So much hate in this world, especially when it comes to Nick Caserio on these Texans trades. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, so talking heads hate the Texans trades. David Montgomery, by the way, had a heartfelt post that he posted saying, "I love all of you fans. Thank you for everything." He also he used a song from Rod Wave's "Moving On," which actually uses the word Houston in it, Joe.
Nice little pull there for him. I think
some synergy, even.
Yeah, I like that.
Good move. So he's got feel. I like people who have feel. You know this.
Yeah.
I like people who have a little bit of feel.
Feel is good.
A little bit of feel. He's got a little bit of feel, this David Montgomery. I think I like the trade more now that he has a little feel.
You're all in now. Already pretty.
Yeah, I like that. I like the trade. Yeah. I'm totally okay with the trade. But here are a lot of people that hate the trade, Joe. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, first Sarge, but Sarge has deleted the tweet. There's two trades here. We shouldn't just say the David Montgomery trade. It was also the Tytus Howard trade. And the tweet that he deleted was like, I guess, I can't remember exactly what it said, so I'm disappointed that he tweeted it or he deleted it. Which deleting tweets are soft moves in general. I'm anti deleting tweets. Even if I get the only time I'll delete a tweet is if I got like a piece of information wrong, like a number, you know.
Sure.
And I'll delete it and just repost it with the corrected number. Sometimes I just put like, "Whoops, I'm wrong," and then correct the number in the comments, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
But like the tweet isn't forever gone. Like, it's just temporary fixing a fact piece, and then like it'll be right back up in a second. I'm not a fan of deleting posts because of the reaction you get from said post. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I find that to be very soft.
I feel like I've never deleted anything, honestly.
So I put Sarge's maybe I learned my lesson here that I need to screen grab the tweets instead of just posting the link to his tweets, because now we know he deletes them. So I forget exactly what he said, but it was like, "Oh, I'm sad. Tytus Howard's leaving. He is my lover. I love him." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Again, he deleted the tweets. So I don't know exactly what it said, but professed his love for Tytus Howard. It read very much like a scorned lover.
It did. It was very much a. I think at the end it said, "I just don't get it."
Okay.
The trade.
See,
so.
Like, you know, a lot of that's the way a lot of people react whenever their significant other breaks up with them.
Yeah.
Like, we were moving right along. We were really in love. We were having such a great time. I just didn't see it coming. I just don't get it.
Just don't get it.
Just don't get it. So, Sarge, sorry for your loss, man. Acting like a scorned lover after the Texas trade of Tyus Howard. Adam Sheen, Shane, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Mad Dog Radio, here was his take with the Texans trade yesterday.
I think the Texans are completely out of their minds here. And this makes no sense. Like, if I'm a fan of the Houston Texans, I'm wondering what the hell is going on. So they just traded, in essence, Howard for Montgomery.
Yeah.
They just traded their best offensive lineman for a backup running back. That's what Montgomery is. And, you know, I like Montgomery. I don't love Montgomery. I've said that consistently. This is my take on Montgomery in Chicago, my take on Montgomery in Detroit, my take on Montgomery now. The Texans didn't need David Montgomery. They needed Kenneth Walker. They needed Travis Etienne. That's who they needed. So why would you take yourself out of that market, perhaps? Are you now going to spend $12 billion a year on Kenneth Walker? We just got David Montgomery? I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Boy, so that was Shane Spiel. He said, I thought he was done. He said, as a Texans fan, I'd be mad with the team. So that was Shane Spiel. I don't know how you could say that David Montgomery's a backup running back, and I love David Montgomery in the same breath.
Agreed.
Like he did there. That seems odd. And I understand that technically he was behind Jahmyr Gibbs. But if you were ranking the 32 running backs in the NFL, David Montgomery's probably in the teens, right? Probably in the teens? I think he's in the teens.
Yeah, he's in the teens.
Healthily in the teens. He's easily a top 20 running back. He's a top 19 running back, so he'd be in the teens. So I don't know how you could call him a backup running back and then say I love Montgomery. And then also, he doesn't really understand how the cap works. Like okay, yes, you could sign Travis Etienne and Kenneth Walker, but then you can't sign offensive linemen because they're going to make more than twice the money that David Montgomery is going to make, at least right now. We'll see if there's a contract extension. So they're going to spend the money, the delta between the Etienne's and Kenneth Walker's of the world and the David Montgomery's of the world, on offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy ain't dead no ball.
No.
You can tell by his accent, though. He
as soon as he started talking, I just chuckled.
Yeah. Seth Walder's an analytics guy on ESPN. He didn't like the David Montgomery trade. He said, you know, Montgomery's old, blah, 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 blah. He gave the Texans a D on the trade. He gave the Lions an A, which I do think it's a good trade for the Lions because, like, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, right? It's like,
yeah.
You're getting a good draft pick for a running back. But then he also loved the Texans grade for Tyus Howard trade, though. He gave the Texans an A- for getting a fifth, and he gave the Browns a D+.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm surprised all over the place. Yeah, that an A next to the Howard trade surprises me.
Yeah, I think it's like very analytical though. We're like, you know, Howard's older and he got $21 million a year. He can't get a good ROI on $21 million a year. So it's very much an analytical approach, which analytics don't love older running backs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dr. John Crumpler, who's a good follower, follows the Texans. His quote tweet to the Adam Schefter, David Montgomery trade, that's a pretty gross trade for Houston. Nice deal for Detroit to land that package for an aging back. Texans must see some serious juice left with Monty. So gross trade, according to Dr. Crumpler.
You know. I didn't love it. But I don't think gross is a word I would use.
Yeah, I mean, that one wasn't that strong.
I don't think.
That one's like, that's a fair opinion, I think. Kim Davis covers the Texans. Whenever the Texans traded Tyus Howard, Ian Rappaport tweeted it out. Kim Davis's quote tweet to the Ian Rappaport report. I have no idea, says Kim, what the Texans are doing. Not only was Tyus Howard their best offensive lineman last season, but he's the last piece of functional familiarity for C.J. Stroud from his rookie season. The season so many want him to repeat. Then again, Nick Caserio did say this offense was, you know what? Never mind. Just feels like that are really unserious.
So I guess my pushback here is
hashtag Texans, hashtag Chalk Talk.
Is just because he was your best offensive lineman doesn't mean you can't improve significantly. And you're not going to pay him. Like, I the more I've thought about it, the more I'm really good with the Tyus Howard trade. I also don't think the familiarity thing matters at all.
No.
Like not a single bit.
Like, here's my beef with that tweet. If you're trying to compare keeping familiarity from Stroud's rookie season as to like a reason that you would keep Tyus Howard, why were you so open to firing Bobby Slowick?
Yeah.
Why were you so open to moving on from Jerrod Johnson? Like, you can't preach being familiar on one hand and then ignore it on the other hand. It's not consistent. And the moment people lack consistency with their takes is whenever I lose the respect. Mm-hmm. So you can't be like one guy, well, you know, familiar, it helps Stroud. The other guy, well, familiar hurts Stroud. Okay, what are you saying now? Like, something tells me that's not actually the root of your take. Something else is the root of your take.
100%.
So, like, that's kind of where I'm at with that one. Brett Coleman from Underdog. Shout out Underdog, promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. $75 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Houston must really like Blake Fisher for right tackle and have some other plan for guard. Okay. Tell me you don't know the Texans without telling me you don't know the Texans.
Yeah.
I promise you Blake Fisher will not be the starting right tackle for the Texans sans injury or an earthquake.
Yes.
You know,
like,
but they're not going to go into the season with Blake Fisher as their right tackle. He could be their swing tackle and there's an injury, but they're not going into the season with Blake Fisher penciled in as their starting right tackle.
They are not.
Come on, bruh.
Yeah, he will not. I 100% agree.
And then Chess Liam, who's a fantasy football player. He likes to play chess, but he's also won like a best ball mania or two, like really good best ball guy, strategist, game player. He tweets, pretty easy sign the Texans are not a sharp organization. What they paid for Woody Marks and David Montgomery in draft capital. So he's anti, you know, big draft capital on running backs.
So a seventh and a fourth? Sixth and a fourth? What was Woody?
Woody was the trade-up, right? So it was a fourth and a future third, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, it was pretty steep.
I mean, it is steep, but you have your running back room secured, and we might see a running back go in the top five this year. So,
yeah, I have takes on that, by the way, which we might get to later.
Good takes or bad takes? Like good thing or bad thing?
I don't know if it's either.
Okay.
No, it's not like a positive or negative take. It's just like, why wouldn't this happen take?
Yeah. I think it's – to me, I actually think like using multiple fourth-round picks to secure your running back room is a perfectly good use of your draft capital. It's better. You don't want him to take him in the first round, right? So that's really bad draft capital.
Yeah.
How many hits are there in the sixth or seventh round? I think we look too much at like Isaiah Pacheco and say, oh, just find the next guy that can do that.
No, I like mid-round running backs. But I guess the counterpoint would be instead of trading multiple third and fourth rounders for like one or two running backs, just draft four running backs with third or fourth rounders you have.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're going to – because the Texans, they traded up from the fourth – and spent a future third for Woody. They traded a fourth yesterday for David Montgomery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you used three picks to get two guys. You could have just used all three picks on running backs.
That also feels like a not knowing ball situation with Nick Caserio and how he works.
True.
He loves trades, and he always has excess draft capital to maneuver.
And
to
he usually recoups them, you know what I mean? But, you know, at the same time, though, just because you're recouping a draft pick shouldn't mean that you're being reckless with a draft pick. Like, I got into that discussion with Houston Stressens today because he was kind of, like, pointing to the David Montgomery trade, to the Stephon Diggs trade, like, making a comparison there. And it's like, well, you know, the Texans traded back, and then they used the pick that they got to trade back to trade Stephon Diggs, so it was basically free. Like, I hate that logic. Like, the whole point of trading back was to acquire another pick, right?
Yeah.
So then now you're trying to use that pick in the best way possible, not be reckless with it. Just because you're able to create a surplus of draft picks because you traded down doesn't mean you should light that pick on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has value. So, like, when it has value, you need to maximize the value for the value that you acquired. So I hate that school of thought. Like, people always have that school of thought, too, when, like, you trade up. Like, well, you know, they had pick number 12 and they traded number 10. They gave up a first, yeah, but they basically only gave up a first because they moved from 12 to 10. No, you traded 12 and the pick to move to 10.
Yes.
I don't like the whole pick swap argument.
No,
like, it's kind of dumb.
No, I agree. And also, like, in terms of lighting picks on fire, I don't think Casera really does that, right?
I think he can light picks on fire in trade. Like I mean,
outside of the Diggs one, and really, like, I didn't hate the trade as much until the contract came in.
He has lit late round draft picks on fire. Like, I don't really care that much about late round draft picks, but he, like, early in his career, he was trading like fifth round picks for Ryan Finley,
yeah,
who he cut before training camp even started. Like, he was trading a sixth rounder for Anthony Miller. Like,
yes.
But again, six and seven rounders I don't really care about. Like, he traded, I think, a seventh rounder for a corner. Was it Holloman? I don't know if it was Holloman. But he traded, like, a seventh rounder for a corner and then cut him, like, a week later.
Yeah, those are bad moves.
But at the same time, I don't care if it's about six and seventh rounders.
Yeah, see, to me, like, the story of those is more a poor evaluation of the players you're acquiring than the draft capital you're giving up. Like, trading a six for Anthony Miller was a bad trade for the player you got in return. I'm okay with the idea of trading it for a player that has a high upside, but the fact that, like, they're not even making the roster – out of training camp.
And then so quick.
That to me is where it's like, oh, like your NFL scouting evaluation is actually really off compared to your draft stuff sometimes.
I think it was a six-rounder for Ryan Finley, who they literally cut before camp even started.
I think that's correct.
Okay, it was a seventh-rounder. It was a seventh-rounder. I just looked it up. That's not as bad. So I'm glad I looked that up, because a fifth-rounder is way worse than a seventh. But it's still kind of weird. Like, you trade a pick for a guy, and then you didn't even make it to camp. But a seventh-rounder I don't care about, so I recant a bit. 713-780-ESPN. What is the Texans' offseason agenda after the trade yesterday? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at ncaa.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5.